What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. This has been a big week for music. Big week for music. As you know, hear ye, hee-haw. Cowboy Carter has been released. Beyonce's album. I don't even know what number album this is, because that's another topic of discussion too, because some people are including live albums. They include the collaboration with Jay-Z. Everything is love. They talking about the gift. I don't know what number album this is from Beyonce Knowles Carter. All I know is Cowboy Carter has been released, and it is the one. Okay. It's the one. Now, so much to go over. But before I even get into that, one, it's noisy. Y'all know I say this every episode. Y'all, the kids outside screaming. They outside screaming. They screaming out the window. They screaming. So if you hear random shrieks and hoos and toys getting thrown onto the ground, that is the neighborhood kids out there having them a good old time. Okay, can't hate on them. I was once a young child, and also I'm happy that kids are outside playing, because while I do not have children, I am one of those people who see the effects of too much screen time for kids and how it is causing them to have social struggles that they shouldn't necessarily have, especially at this age. So the kids outside screaming, but I'm happy the kids outside doing their thing. With that in mind, let's get into it. Okay, so my initial thoughts about Cowboy Carter. I love the album, and it affected me in different ways. So when I listened to Renaissance, I was immediately taken, because I feel like, y'all know, I say I'm a music fan. And honestly, I don't know how, when people hear music, I don't know what their experiences are. But when I hear music, I hear music. Like, I listen for layers and instruments and sound effects and voice and background. I listen for all of that. I don't know why that is. I honestly think I'm just musically inclined. I think some people are inclined for music. I love instrumentation and I love performance. So when I hear music, it pulsates through me. Like, it's in me. And I don't know if that sounds kind of weird or cliche or corny, but I honestly feel like that when I listen to music. So when Renaissance dropped, because of the pulsating, the beat and the dance, it was just like, it was dance music. I felt automatically like it was in my blood, like it was just in me. With Cowboy Carter, this album made me really emotional. I felt like I was having a different experience with the instrumentation and the arrangements and the different genre mixes. And again, two totally different experiences, two great albums, but Cowboy Carter is very special, and it's special for many reasons. One, there are many tracks on this album. Okay, so let's say it's a country. I don't think it's a country album. Beyonce said this is not a country album. It's a Beyonce album. She is correct. When you think country album, you think traditional country. When you think of Beyonce and who she is as an artist now, Beyonce is mixing genres and blending sounds to pretty much make it specific to her experience and what she presents and brings out in music. We have on this album country, pop, folk, alternative, R&B. There is a meshing of genres where honestly, I feel like people who are genre specific or stuck inside of boxes gonna have a hard time defining what certain songs on this album are, because it does not stay in boxes. It does not do that, which I love. because honestly, I think this album is for people who listen to music. Like this, when you, this album for people who, if you go to their iTunes playlist or their Spotify playlist and put it on just shuffle or like their favorite tracks or things that they kind of listen to, this album is for people who will listen to Fleetwood Mac and then jump over to Cascade, then go back to James Brown and then the Doobie Brothers and then Shania Twain, Chuck Berry, then a swoop back over to the Bee Gees and then down over to some R&B, Jodeci. Like this is an album for people who listen to music like that. They just want to hear good music and they like good music and have an ear for good music. If you only been listening, I've been seeing people on social media saying, I wish Beyonce would go back to Dangerously in Love and just straight R&B Beyonce. This album, if you are the type of person who only listen to Jaheim and Keisha Cole, this ain't for you. No disrespect to Jaheim and Keisha Cole, but if you be only listening to that, you are not a music consumer and a listener and an appreciator of music in general. This album ain't for you. So with that in mind, again, I feel like Beyonce is a musicologist. And I'm kind of upset with myself for being a part of the camp who has generalized Beyonce in this category of just an entertainer or performer, because that is not what we have been experiencing with these last few moments in music with her. We have actively been learning and been educated and been going and been able to go on deep dives with some of the things that she has put a part of her music, because it is not just her singing songs and putting them out. A musicologist, they're scholars of music who consider the relationship between music and various subjects, including geography, aesthetics, politics, race theory, gender theory, neuropsychology, and more. Beyonce is a musicologist. And I say that in relation to Cowboy Carter, the elements that are inserted into this, it's just, it's beyond an album. Beyond an album. And also, I don't know if that's what's lending to the numbers or if, because it has that country tie-in, it is broadening the reach, but the numbers that have been returned on this album are crazy. So Beyonce is, she started in the 90s before streaming. A lot of artists who started before streaming have not been able to transcend into this new streaming era, meaning some of them are still popular, but some are turning into legacy acts, and their numbers and their reach and their music is not where it used to be back in the day. For example, Beyonce's peers are, her actual peers are Usher, Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears. That group, Monica, Brandy, those are her peers. Her colleagues are, yes, the Taylor Swifts and in the Drakes, whoever is out right now. Those are her colleagues, but her actual peers are those that I mentioned. Her peers aren't pulling numbers in like this. So, Cowboy Carter, this album is officially Spotify's most streamed album in a single day this year, and it becomes the first time a country album holds the title in 2024. It also marks the first day streams for a country album by a female artist in the history of Amazon Music. Beyonce is an artist who started in the 90s. That's unheard of. That first day we talked about, that debut, in its first day, 76 million streams. It jumped up to 87.1 million streams. That was an update later on in the day. As of today, and it's constantly updated, of course, we're up to 400 million streams on Spotify. That's just Spotify. That ain't Apple Music. That ain't Tidal. That ain't Google Music. That's just Spotify. And the week is not over. We're also seeing a report that it's projected to hit 400,000 albums sold. Now, 400,000 albums sold in 2024 is crazy. The big weekends for people, big weeks for people are like 200,000 albums sold. 400, that's them years ago numbers. So the reach of this album, and again, I think it's because it's that country tie-in and it's touching people who aren't necessarily, and I'm doing air quotes, who claim it ain't Beyonce fans, is hitting that demo and it's pulling a lot of people in. But let's go a little beyond that real quick, because there's so many points that I want to hit on with this. This album is doing a lot of things. One, it is reclaiming genres that are historically a part of Blackness and Black American culture that have skewed on the white side. And it is showing everybody and telling everybody in real time how or who this music belonged to originally, right? It's doing that, especially giving highlights to people like Linda Martell, who is on the album a couple of times in different capacities. One, it is reclaiming the genre. Okay, it is giving that history lesson in the song, in the music, and also in some of the elements that are inserted into some of the press material and the advertising. So we have that. It is giving shine to Black country artists and literally breaking the door down for them. On Blackbird, which is a song written by Paul McCartney, which we found out now through this research that we are all doing because of this album. Blackbird was originally written by Paul McCartney to, it was a song about Black girls and their struggles and how we were a part of and present during the civil rights movement. He was inspired by what was happening. He was stressed about what was happening and concerned and wrote that song for us. On Beyonce's album, she took the opportunity to invite Black female country artists to sing and be featured on that, which are Tanner Adele, Brittany Spencer, Tierra Kennedy, and Raina Roberts. All, mind you, who have seen drastically increased streaming numbers on platforms since we learned that they are featured on this album. So not only are we learning things, we are giving opportunity and shine to other artists. There's more within that, but I'll start right there. She also highlights traditional OGs within the country space, because one thing that people like to do is they like to try to discredit you by saying you don't have the respect of the elders in the genre, right? Well, she went and got Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton to be a part of this album. Dolly Parton is on two songs, Tyrant, and also Beyonce remade Jolene. So that is another topic of discussion where she remade it, added some different lyrics, sped up the beat, made it a little more pop, R&B, trap, hip hop-ish. I actually like it. Some people were saying they didn't. I thought it was jamming. So she has that aspect of it, paying respect or bringing in the elders. She also brought in people who started off a country and transitioned over to pop or hip hop, i.e. Post Malone and Miley Cyrus. So she hitting that. We found out during Beyonce's speech at the iHeart Music Awards that she even had Stevie Wonder playing harmonica on Jolene. So we got that. Now Rogers played on the song Beyonce did with Post Malone. We got the OGs on the back end as well. Talked about Linda Martell, who was featured on this. There's a country artist named Shaboozy. He is featured on this album. We also have lots of collaborations with The Dream, of course. John Batiste was one of the writers to American Requiem, and so on. So we have a moment where now people's platforms have been boosted because of their association with this album. So yes, it's about giving art to the people, but it's also about giving back, and that we're seeing that right now tenfold. Another thing that we're learning or seeing, a lot of the promo for this mentioned like the Chitlin' Circuit. A part of this album, if you listen to it, it starts off, it's kind of like a I won't call them ballads, but there's like a more emotional, traditional country side. And what I consider the B side, which people are calling the Chitlin' Circuit side, is where you get into like the black music and how and infusing country with traditional R&B, hip hop, folk, funk rhythms and beats. So we are seeing on the same album kind of like a two sides of a coin in how country is immersed and meshed in all different aspects, whether it's upbeat, slow, ballads, you know, tracks like Spaghetti and so on. So we're getting that mix as well. It's something for everybody on this album. I feel like it's also forcing us to study and listen to music outside of what you normally listen to. Now, earlier, a few minutes ago, I mentioned how I feel like this album is for people who already have a broad palette of music. But I feel like this is going to force people to continue on with that, because while you listening to it, you also hear references from other songs or other moments in music history. There's a song on the album called Two Hands to Heaven. And halfway through the song, it starts to feel like it's a Jodeci song, right? To me, to the point where I'm then going back and listening to Jodeci and feeling excited because of those R&B elements that are meshed into this country album. There's another song called Alligator Tears, where it seemed like it was a mashup or very familiar with Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi. I then cut the song off, went to Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi, and then was pleased that my music palette or that my ears found some familiarity within the two. So again, if you are not, even if you're not a Beyonce fan, if you feel like you want the authority or have the authority to be able to have full music conversations from a perspective of knowing what you're talking about, I think you need to listen to this album, and you also need to have listened to other albums within different genres to be able to carry on an educated discussion about the credibility and what this album is. Reason being, people are already saying that this album is going to be and is the best album, one, of Beyonce's career, and two, of the year. There are some people who are disagreeing with that, saying that it's boring, they don't understand it, the album is lazy. From what I've gathered, people who say that, and I'm not saying this because I'm a stan or super fan, I'm saying this because I listen to music. People who are saying that, I cannot respect your opinion on music because it sounds like you don't listen to music. And maybe that's the cockiness of this, right? If you don't listen to music, I honestly don't think you will understand this. More things, because I got more. I tell you, I can keep going. Y'all know I love having conversations about things that I'm passionate about. And I am enjoying having discussions around this music and how it is making people, black women in particular, and black men in the black community feel. Right. And us being able to just arch our back a little more because of what we already knew. We knew country music was ours, or we knew we originated it. So I feel like we are now, we just a little prouder, if that makes sense. But another thing that this is one thing that I particularly learned, or two things that I learned about just learned in general, right? Because of this album. One, this is a good example of when you're not welcome in the space, you can come back later and take over. Let me say that again. When you're not welcome in a space, you can come back later and take over. This album started and was sparked by Beyoncé's experience at the Country Music Awards, where she performed in 2016 with the Dixie Chicks when she had Daddy Lessons out. It was one song on Lemonade, just one country song. And she's talked about how her experience made her feel extremely unwelcome in that space, which started her on a journey to create this music. She also mentioned how Cowboy Carter was done and ready to go before Renaissance. But because of the pandemic and how people were feeling, she actually switched how it was going to be released, trusting God's timing. So where she released Renaissance first and then Cowboy Carter, to the point where if you listen to Cowboy Carter, the way it ends, once it ends, and if you immediately turn on Renaissance, it's a natural blend. You can tell that Cowboy Carter was going to be act one and Renaissance was going to be act two. But I say that because this is a perfect example. Y'all was mad about the one little country song. Y'all was mad she did that one little song at the show. But now, guess what happened? She done made a whole country album, and now black people about to be on y'all ass about this country music. So you should have sat down and ate your food. Okay? You should have just sat there. Another thing that I have and I appreciate and that has empowered me to do as an entertainer and a creator and somebody who feels very I've always felt very artistic in different ways, if that makes sense. Even though my art isn't what can be considered traditional, I've always been a performer of some capacity, even if it was on a small scale. Okay, when I had my little clarinet up in the band, I was a performer, baby. Okay, first chair. Don't get it twisted. Okay, but anyway, this album is showing people that you can create whatever you want. You can literally create whatever you want. And even if you aren't given that impression or you told that you cannot, do it anyway. Create whatever you want, because there is a lane, there is a fan base, there is a consumer that is waiting on whatever it is that you have to give. Create whatever it is that you want, even if it's just for you. I don't care if it's one person listening to it and it's your mama. Guess what? I bet you that shit gonna be jamming. And even if it ain't jamming, somebody gonna like it. And even if they don't like it, you're gonna keep creating air. You're gonna keep getting better. So I feel like this is showing us to literally create whatever you want. And literally, it'll literally come together. And lastly, before I get into the next half of this, ranking my favorite Beyoncé albums, because I feel like that's what people really want. They want the rankings. I was sitting with those thoughts and those points that I just talked about, right? Creating what you want and thinking about how this would have never happened if Beyoncé had not have felt so unwelcome in that space. We wouldn't even be here right now. And I was on Threads and I came across this post from someone that I do not know, but her name is Dr. Clark. And this really stood out to me. I'm going to read it for y'all. She said, "Beyoncé is my favorite artist, not just because of her artistry, but because she is a reminder that people may never like you, will critique you, and may never believe in you. Yet you determine your path. Her tenacity, drive, love for self, and lane craving have changed how I navigate and engage the world. My blackness, my career, my faith, my gender expression, etc., do not have to make others happy. I am only responsible to my creator, my loved ones, those who support me, and me. Own your story." It really hit home. So with that, I really want y'all and encourage y'all to listen to that album. Again, whether you a fan or not, if you honestly aren't, because I've been meeting people and talking to people who aren't fans of music. They don't really be listening to music like that, which is baffling. I literally don't know how you get through life. I just don't understand that. But if you listen to music and consider yourself a fan of music, you have to listen to this album just so you can see what is happening within that space. if you are a type of person who feel like you need to know what you're talking about, you got to listen to it, because you ain't going to be able to have these conversations if you ain't heard and you don't know what's going on. So with that, let me know your thoughts about the album. You can find me at social media. You can find me on social media at Kenelia. And we about to jump into these, my favorite albums in just 1 second. Now, what are my top five Beyoncé albums? And I'm going to make this clear. I'm not saying her best albums. I'm saying my top five. Okay? Because best, for example, when you talk about Jay-Z's best albums and my top Jay-Z albums, those are going to be different because I know which albums were or are considered the best, but my top, it's a different number, a different ranking, because they had a different impact on me versus the culture and music in general in that space, right? So when I say my top five Beyoncé albums, I'm not saying the best. I'm saying my top five. Make that very clear. So let me say this again. I probably said this many, many moons ago. I have always respected Beyoncé, but I did not become like a fan until 4 came out. The other albums before that, like B-Day and Dangerously in Love and I Am Sasha Fierce, they was jamming. But for me, 4 really was like some grown woman music. That's when I was like, oh, she got something with, oh, this is it right here. That's what did it for me. So everything after 4 means way more to me than before. Not to say that I think that things before 4 weren't better or good. I'm talking about where I would rank it as how I feel about this music. So I'm going to bucket. So automatically my top is going to be between 4, self-titled, Lemonade, The Gift, Renaissance, Cowboy Carter, and Low Key. I'm gonna put Everything Is Love in there, because people keep talking about Beyoncé albums and saying that between Lemonade and Renaissance there was a gap and she ain't released music in like 6 years. She did The Gift and Everything Is Love. Everything Is Love was with Jay-Z, but that thing was jamming. That music was jamming. Now, Everything Is Love is jamming. If you ain't listen, go back and listen. It was jamming. And also, The Gift gets left out of her album discussions because it was associated with the Lion King, that movie. And I think it's because, and I also tweeted this and responded to somebody's comment on Threads about this, because they were asking the same thing. Why do we forget about The Gift? I think it's the same reason that people don't consider the Black Panther soundtrack a Kendrick Lamar album, even though it technically was. Kendrick Lamar's album, or his soundtrack work for Black Panther, that was his album. But there were different songs and features that he was not a part of, but he produced and was heavily involved. That was his album. Ryan Coogler commissioned Kendrick Lamar to create an album, a soundtrack for Black Panther, similar to how soundtracks were a part of overall movie experiences in the 90s. He purposely did that. That is a Kendrick Lamar album, even though we don't call it one. I feel like The Gift gets the same treatment because it was associated with Disney and The Lion King, and there were songs on there that Beyoncé was not particularly on. She was responsible for the entire album. Black is King, the visual album, was one of the best pieces of art that was created and tied to music. Not many people have done that. We talking about Michael Jackson Moonwalker. You know what I'm saying? Like, we doing that. So I consider that a Beyoncé album, but I understand why it is not. So I'm looping that into the things that we're choosing from. So automatically from that list, we talk about top five, my favorite five within that group. Again, we're going to go Cowboy Carter, Renaissance, Lemonade, self-titled, For, The Gift, and Everything Is Love. I used to say that Four was my favorite Beyonce album. That done got knocked out automatically by Cowboy Carter, Renaissance, and The Gift. So I'm going to put, and y'all ain't gonna like me for this, but I'm bumping Lemonade down again for me because there were other moments within this discography that had more impact on me. I'm not saying Lemonade wasn't one of the best. I'm saying for me. So then within my five, I got Cowboy Carter, Renaissance, Four, The Gift, and self-titled. And I put self-titled in there because that literally, it was just an overall experience. Even though Lemonade was too, I felt like self-titled was just, I don't know. I think for me, I put The Gift over Lemonade because The Gift, it was pulsating through me. That music was in me. So within that, my top five, I'm gonna put Renaissance first, Cowboy Carter second. Even though people will swap that, I understand what people saying, but I'm talking about me. Renaissance is first for me. Cowboy Carter is second. Four is third. Fourth and fifth battling out between The Gift and self-titled. But now that I think about it, I might have to kick Four out and put Lemonade back in. So I don't, my top six, how about this? Renaissance, Cowboy Carter, Four, or The Gift, Lemonade, I don't even know no more. I know the top two. My top two, how about this, y'all? It done went for top five to top six to top two. My top two, first I got Renaissance, and two, I got Cowboy Carter. I'm not saying that Cowboy Carter isn't a better album. I'm saying what it did to me. I think, though, honestly, what's going to happen based on every time I listen to Cowboy Carter, it just gets more and more rich to me. I will honestly tell you by next week, I feel like I'm going to have Cowboy Carter at one and Renaissance is two. But stay tuned. They're probably going to keep flip-flopping. What do you think? What's your ranking? If you rank top five Beyonce albums, not what you think is the best, what is the most impactful for you? Where would you rank these? Hit me up. Hit me up on social media and let me know your thoughts. You can find me at Kenelia. Lastly, I want to give some shine to women's basketball, particularly NCAA women's basketball, and hell, the WNBA, because they be out there hooping. Them WNBA games be looking fun. I want to go to a WNBA game, okay? I also want to take this moment because we are in a tournament time. It is March Madness. We are winding down, and women's basketball is more of the talk and the discussion than men's, which is a drastic shift from years past, and I love this. There are in particular teams that I'm rooting for because y'all know the rules. Y'all know the competition rules when it comes to sports. I done told y'all many times, but just for the sake of conversation again, the recap, I'm going to give it to y'all again. We rooting for the black team. If it ain't no black team, football, we rooting for the black quarterback. Basketball, we rooting for the black star. If they ain't no black star, we rooting for the team with the black coach. If the team don't got no black coach, we rooting for the team in the black city. Okay? If it ain't in the black city, then we rooting for the team that maybe feel black. In basketball, maybe it's the black people was wearing the paraphernalia. Remember back in the day, we all had that Charlotte Hornets coat, that starter coat. Maybe it's something that black people attach to. If it ain't none of that, we just gonna watch and wish y'all the best. In this case, because of those guidelines, the sports guidelines. We had to root for LSU because Angel Reese and Flauge, who unfortunately got eliminated by Iowa, which is led up by Caitlin Clark. And people are talking about that matchup is going to go into the WNBA on some Magic and Bird type stuff. And I can see that because them two be going at it. And people are also saying that Caitlin Clark, who is a non-black, they've been saying that she's the best college player that people have ever seen. So that game got a lot of shine and a lot of viewers, historic numbers. But by the rules that we just set out, we are officially going for South Carolina, headed up by Coach Dawn, who is an Olympic gold medalist in her own right, one of the best point guards that we've seen, and be the flyest coach I've ever seen dressed on the sideline. She be Fendi Gucci down, okay? Shout out to Coach Dawn. So, the Final Four, the Final Four, I think, is taking place on Friday, the day after this podcast comes out, with the championship shortly after. So for the sake of that, we should all watch as a family and support. Feel free to go who you going for, but y'all know the rules. And by the rules that I outlined, we got to go for South Carolina. So will y'all be watching? Have y'all been watching? And what do you feel about this tide turn in the direction of women's basketball? Hit me up and let me know your thoughts. You can find me at Kanelia. On this week's episode of Black News, we discussed all things Cowboy Carter, from genres in music to Black history in music, country music, features on the album, and the impact that it is having thus far. We also ranked our top five or top favorite Beyoncé albums. And we also gave a quick shout out to the NCAA women's basketball tournament and March Madness that is happening right now. Hit me up and let me know your thoughts about all of these topics, some or none, and I'll check back with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Kanelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is kanelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.